Hey witches, and welcome to Witch and a Bitch in a Podcast. I'm your host Darren,
and I'm Vicky. How are you all going today? I can't stop myself from saying.
Yeah, it's okay. I've just become used to the fact that Vicky likes to ask people that can't respond how they're feeling. Anyways, guys, so we've got an absolutely amazing special guest for you today. So Stacey DeMarco is an internationally respected spiritual practitioner, a metaphysicist, and witch whose passion is to make practical magic accessible to everyone. Her down-to-earth yet scholastic spiritual style and her skill at weaving ancient techniques to solve modern problems make her popular amongst clients and a regular contributor upon all things metaphysical across television, radio, and other media. The author of four internationally successful books, including The Witch in the Boardroom, now in its third edition, Witch in the Bedroom, The Coffee Oracle, and The No Excuses Guide to Soulmates with Jade Sky. She's also the author of the stunning annual Lunar and Seasonal Diary for both the Northern and Southern Hemispheres, which has been a seller since 2011. And her latest Oracle deck, which I have here, The Elemental Oracle, was released in September of 2020. She's also the founder of Nature Luster, a program to assist people to engage with nature for healing and health, and a past committee member of the Pagan Awareness Network. Her website, www.themodernwitch.com, is one of the most popular websites in this genre. And from Sydney's northern beaches, she's an avid adventure traveler, horsewoman, beekeeper, environmental activist, and although she loves the snow, she understands that her skiing is unlikely to improve ever. No, I'm just kidding. So please pick a nice big warm welcome to Stacey DeMarco.
Yay!
Thank you.
Welcome.
Oh my God, I always get embarrassed with bios.
Why?
The skiing thing is real. I am a very, very bad skier.
Do you get to go much to places that have actual snow, not like a
Yes. So I got into skiing. I love the big, what I call the big white room, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something very magical about being in a very quiet environment like that.
Yeah.
And, it's gorgeous. And my husband is an expert skier, you know, so.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's one of those, you know.
Just picks it up and can
naturally talented.
You down the mountain, you know, like he's very, very A-type around skiing.
Yeah.
So we made a deal that he would learn how to horse ride when we got married, and I would learn how to ski, right? So that was our deal.
It.
So he could go on horse riding adventures with me and I could go skiing. He has done better at the horse riding than I have done.
Oh, no.
I do my best, but I'm one of those very sort of tall, galunkety people.
Oh, you remind me of my husband who looks like a newborn giraffe finding its
Yes.
Leg. That would be me, I think.
Yes, I try so hard to be coordinated. Like I can't coordinate the top of my body and the bottom of my body, right? So if it's sort of one body, part of the body thing, I'm actually a really good archer and I'm really good at throwing the javelin and I can sort of ride a horse well. But anything that is a lot of coordination, I have been the victim of coming down mountains and making what they call a yard sale. I don't know whether where you hit the wall, you hit the mountain so hard that all the bits of your equipment go down the hill, right? So it looks like a yard sale.
I love it.
Yeah, and so many times. And when you go skiing in places like, you know, you asked, you know, where I go, you know, like somewhere like Japan that has amazing snow.
Oh, wow.
And then the people are so polite and beautiful.
Are they?
That, you know, very respectful, that if you do fall over, like in Australia, you fall over, somebody just goes, oh, yeah, like, get out of my way. But in Japan, everybody stops and everyone bows. Are you all right? And then they help you. And like everyone is just would you like some noodles? Would you like some sushi? They're just such beautiful people. So I don't mind falling in Japan.
I was going to say, I've never seen snow and I'm dying to go. Yeah. It's the one thing I've always wanted to, and I want to go, I want to ski and all the rest of it. So like, I'm going to Japan now.
Yeah, you've got
my first time, that is where I'm going.
Yeah, and not only that, you get to go to these amazing Zen forests and, just amazing. Everything's, you know, I mean, you would never know from this because I'm having a nice conversation, but I'm quite an introverted person. So the idea of going places that are quiet and I can just go into nature and there's not 50 million people, it's
Which is ironic.
Yes, you're speaking ironic. My language. That's exactly what I...
And it's actually quite ironic because Japan's like one of the most populated places for its size. But like I've been there before and you can really find some quiet little nooks, even in Tokyo. Like I love going to, I can't remember the name of it now. There's a Shinto temple right in the middle of Tokyo. I think it's near Harajuku. And it's like, you wouldn't even know you were in the middle of Tokyo because it's just like quiet. Yeah.
You would love Kyoto if you haven't already been.
Yes, I have. It's beautiful.
Isn't it? Like, you know, some of the...
You're speaking my language.
I'm not into cities, but...
Yeah.
You know, someone says, what's your favorite city? That would be my top three. Kyoto's just culturally...
Oh, yeah. And my husband actually said to me, he's like, now, I don't want to be doing the temple tour of Kyoto. He goes, I limit you to one per type. So I had one wooden temple, one golden temple, one like the rock temple, like with the pebbles.
Yes.
Like, so I had to only go to the top of each.
Oh.
Like otherwise, like, I don't want to be templed out in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a place you could get lost there all day in the temple.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Awesome. Vicky, I'll hand over to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, we're
done. No, you're fine.
No,
you're fine.
I love that. And because you are such a nature lover as well, I wanted to come back to your website. You are, your website is The Modern Witch.
Yes.
So with that, and a part of our podcast is that we wanted to kind of dispel any myths around that word, and which I love, I've seen on yours a few times, that is like we've had bad PR for like 2000 years or something. I'm like, I love that. That's brilliant. and also, we also want to say that like we want to show people that there's so many different ways to be a witch as well. So what would be your sort of definition, I guess, of a modern witch, or what does being a modern witch mean to you?
So the word witch to me is a very old and honourable word.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to sort of answer this in a roundabout way.
I know. Okay. It's such a big question, really.
It's a big question. You've got 3 days, you know.
Like, yeah, that's it.
the thing is, it's been, like I said, you know, we've had a bad PR day for a couple of years. So when I first started down the track of having, like, coming out of the broom closet, in a proper way, and going down the, you know, I was writing books and stuff, so you kind of have a profile, and it's not that you really pick one, it just, it happens.
You've got it,
I even had people say to me when I was doing, you know, publicity or TV, would you mind if we don't put the word witch in?
Mm. Oh,
can
really?
We call you a priestess, or can we call you a spiritual practitioner, or like, And I'd go, what part of, you know, like I would, in the beginning, I was sort of shocked by it and went, no, I'm a witch. That's what I am. Capital W.
Yeah.
Like a Buddhist or a Hindu. That's what I am. And then I would see the footage later, because like I'd be on like, you know, TV, you know, morning show or whatever. And they'd put the word white in front of it. Right? To make everything all right. You know, like white made you less fearful, you know, like they
made you all the good out there, not Glinda kind of thing.
You know, like, and then I would get so angry, right? I'm just a witch. You know, do you put the word white in front of Buddhist? You're a white Buddhist or a white Christian or a white Hindu, right? So, like, you know, I would really make sure, you know, after a while, and I know people must have thought I was like, hung up on this, but it was really important to me because the word witch is an honorable one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are old, right? Our pagan pathway is so old, we don't know how old it is.
Yeah.
So when you look at the way that should be honored, you know, in the way that we are conduits for change, we always have been, we are weavers of the world, which meant weaver, right? That's what the original word comes from. So when you look at everything, our history and all of that, one of the things that was important to me was bringing honor back to that word, that I would never shy from it, that I would try and educate instead, right? So so that was really important to me. So what's a modern witch? A modern witch is someone who is following the path of witchcraft, whether, you know,
yeah,
it's a very broad path, as you know,
it is, that's
traditions,
it.
All yeah. of that kind of thing, but is taking that old way or the old principles and relating them intimately and in a practical way
yeah.
to your modern life.
Yeah.
Right? Because I have a thing about, if your spiritual path is not practical mm-hmm. or useful, then yeah. why do you have one?
Yeah.
Right?
That's so, so true.
Right? So, you know, which is, you know, people, I remember people in earlier, you know, when I first sort of started doing this, people would look at me and go, oh, but you don't look like a witch, you don't.
What does that look like? And
I'm like, what yes, exactly. Like? So then I'd go, so what do you think a witch is meant to look like?
Yeah. Black.
And they go, oh, you yeah. know that, yeah, and they go through every stereotype. And yeah. as they're doing it, they're realizing they're being insulting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I would always let them go. I'd always answer the question.
Yeah, that's a really great, I love that.
Right, and then I'm not doing it. You know, they're
yeah, that's it, they're coming to that.
Yeah. And then I guess, so do you really think that witches these days would be like that?
Mm.
Oh, no. Oh, so I'm sorry if I've been insulting. They realize they're being insulting, right? And then they've yeah. learned something, hopefully.
Yeah, that's
the,
right.
You know, all the other thing is, oh, I don't believe in witches. And I always go, so if you like, you can touch me.
See, I'm real. Oh, I love it. I love
yeah,
it.
I'm real. Like, pinch me even. You know?
That's
like,
it. I'm here.
You know, like, so I've tried to bring kind of a practical aspect to this and yeah. also to be a bit funny about it or a bit irreverent, but also to be quite grounded, because the thing yeah. that people don't get in the beginning is this is a pagan, it sits under the pagan umbrella, earth on earth, right?
Yeah.
So yes, you can be any kind of witch you like, but at the end of the day, you are going to have some connection to the cycles, the seasons, the earth, the elements, you know, those yeah. sort of things. And that's really what you're playing with, the alchemy you're playing with.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And so Stacey, just as a follow-up question, so has your practice or your mythos or what you follow, has that evolved over the years from, like, because I mean, we all have an origin story.
Yeah.
And then especially, like, I guess being very much in the public eye, because I know that you also use the word metaphysicist, which, like, for those that don't know, for listeners, obviously metaphysics is anything that physics can't prove.
Yeah.
So, like, has your definition or your evolution itself evolved over time, given that you've been so public about your practice?
Absolutely. I think there are things in the beginning that I might have believed or played with, or you know, like this is the beauty of our pathway, you know.
Yeah.
Right over there and go, and then you go, that's actually not working for me
it's
anymore.
Not quite what I'm
over here.
Yeah.
I think the power of the path has changed for me.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was very goddess orientated, very feminine, divine.
Yeah.
You know, my first decks were, you know, goddess and sirens, and then I did the masculine divine, which was gods and titans, right? But it was very god and goddess orientated. The mythos, the great love of mythos that I have hasn't changed ever.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's become stronger in my teaching of the priestess pathways and things like that, which is sort of how I was taught. But where it's sort of going, in fact, is a lot more grounded, and I'm bringing more science into it, and I'm trying to kind of weave, which is what witches do, we're weavers, you
That's
know?
Right, weaving.
I'm trying to weave the groundedness back into stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the plants, the, you know, the things that we can feel in touch, and, you know, like, the elements deck I describe as a celebration, you know, on the front page of it, I say, this is a celebration of what is.
This is
with what is, right? So I've got everything from atoms to black holes to, you know, pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just using the elements of the traditional elements. I'm using the elements that we now know exist through science, right?
Yeah.
And that excites me. That's where I want to take this, because in the old days, logos, logic, and mythos, stories with truth, they were like this. They were taught together, right? Not over not here and over here and let's fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm trying to do, old stuff, but in a new way, I suppose.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And I just want to, sorry, did you?
No, you go. No, okay. You go.
I just wanted to circle back because in the beginning when you were saying about like the word witch, yeah. how it holds so much power and I guess the responsibilities that kind of come with that. Can you kind of tell us a little bit, like elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah,
I love that. Because I think sometimes that's something that's not really thought through.
It's not fashionable.
Yes.
Yeah. What's fashionable is taking on the persona of a witch.
Yeah.
Okay. So this idea that, you know, we can have the good clothes and the cool crystals and, you know, we've got a cauldron and like, hey, baby, I can curse you if I want, you know, like there's all that hexing and, you know, it's kind of a sexy thing. And, you know, especially with younger people, it's an empowering stereotype, right? Like I'm a witch, don't mess with me, right? And I appreciate that, right? But there are responsibilities. With any power comes responsibility, right?
Yeah.
With any power comes an ethical pathway, right? Yeah. So I think for me, when I was coming through, I wanted to be as ethical as I can, right? Yeah. Am I a perfect person? God. I am not a guru. Right, but I can tell you, I try and follow, you know, the witchcraft and the stoicism path. Yeah, you know? Like so this is about you developing your virtues, you know, and your civic mindedness and your service. And you're trying to do that the best way you can. And if we do that within a witchcraft path, which is a very powerful path. Very easy to step over to the dark side, really easy. And I don't mean the dark side is a lovely shadow side. I mean, you know, the dark side where you're hexing people all the time. Mm. Enough witch wars in our community to, you know, to avoid that stuff. Then building that, we have a responsibility to build our power from the inside out.
Yeah. Right?
So that means we harm none. Do what you like, but harm none. And we do our best to be ethical. And I think the big shock to me, and this is, you know, I don't really talk about this very often, but the big shock to me as I was going through and my profile and my work sort of spread out was that people, there was a proportion of clients or people that were attracted to this that actually wanted you to be the guru, wanted you to be sort of, why don't you have a coven where you can, you know, have all these layers of people and you be at the top of this and, you know, like this whole hierarchical, almost Christian power play thing. Mm-hmm. And I think if you weren't aware of that, right, you know, that might have been a very tempting thing, you know, like my manager, for example, you know, he takes all the lovely calls from people who, you know, want a session, you know, whatever. And the number one thing that he has to turn people away from, for me anyway, this is for me, is people wanting me to help them curse somebody, right? Their husband, their wife, you know, whatever. And, oh, look, you know, if you're uncomfortable, I'll bring cash around.
That's going to change it.
That's going to change my mind, right? I was once at a mind, body, spirit festival and this guy was talking to Richard and wanted me to do this thing. And Richard's like, look, I'm telling you, I've worked with her for 15 years. There's no way that she'll do it. So he comes in the next day and he literally has like a, you know, like an old bookmaker's bag. Bookies. And he undoes the bookmaker's bag and Richard's like, well, a bit scared to look in, you know.
He's cash.
There was cash. And he says, so would she do it, like, you know,
for the bag? Oh my gosh!
I'm not joking. Richard tells his story, you know, like, and I'm like, and he just looked at me and goes, she definitely won't do it. Just don't go near her now. Do not go near her now. Walk away slowly.
Just continue.
Go on your way. Yeah. So I think, you know, in our community, it's really important that we do have this very clear
ethical base.
Yeah
I was actually interested to also tap on, and I don't know if this is one of the things that I noticed, like watching some of your work, because like, I'm a big fan of the show The One. Yep. And I know that there's obviously a bit of a, it's a point of contention, because obviously the other host that was on the show was from the Australian Skeptics Association.
Yeah, Richard Saunders.
Yep. Yeah, so, and I know that, like me as someone who absolutely believes in psychics and sure. all that kind of stuff, like we often get faced with this backlash of people expecting us to prove what we can do.
Yeah.
And it's like, so is that what kind of caused this, not a push, but almost this gravitation towards using science in your craft and using metaphysics to explain what you do as a means of kind of keeping the naysayers or whatnot at bay? Was it, do you ever feel that kind of a push?
No, not a motivation. No, I don't care. Hate me, but I don't care. But I'll tell you what it is, okay? Yeah. I'm someone that has a research journalistic, you know, that kind of hard marketing, you know, lobbying background, okay? Yeah. So yeah. having the facts and going down a route like that, like I love science. I have, you know, done papers and things, you know, my husband is a you know, a academic and a doctor. So you know, we have all sorts of conversations about him.
Well, he's very science, you're like very spiritual, so it's like that kind of
But there's no difference, right? So I'll tell you what, this is an interesting thing, because nobody says to him, he's an anaesthetist, okay? So he's the guy that renders you unconscious, right? Exactly.
The last face you see.
Like, no one ever says to me, prove you're an anaesthetist. Mm-hmm. Put me to sleep in that chair right now. Yeah. Right? Nobody ever says that to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because, well, he could do it. Nobody ever says that to him, right? There's this very different level of proven, you know, like, it is, right? Mm-hmm. And no one, like, we're already talking about this, some of the sort of things that he needs to do is a mystery. So when people say, oh, you guys are so different, we go, actually, we're not. And because anesthetics, they know it works and they can control it, and it's one of the safest parts of medicine. So if you're having an operation scene, people out there, don't worry, you're in
the about that, mate.
It's awesome, right? But they don't know how anesthetics work.
I didn't know that.
It's an art of anesthetics. So they don't actually understand where the consciousness goes and how they don't know. Right. So my husband's a very interesting person to talk to about consciousness, because he basically takes consciousness and, depending on what he's doing, he kills people every day.
Yeah.
He brings them back. Right? He brings them back from wherever they go, and he would do it more than anybody else that I would know. He does 8-9 cases a day sometimes, right? Yeah. So, you know, if you ask him about consciousness, you ask him about pain management or bringing, you know, consciousness in, he just talks about all sorts of things like electricity. Yeah. Right? Or he talks about, you know, pressure. Yeah. He talks about, it's a very interesting thing. So they're the things I've got in the elements there.
I almost, you could almost say then that he would be a form of a like modern day witch, almost like a necromancer.
Totally. That's what I said, in the old days, he would have been like, burnt.
Yeah, that's
right. That's what I said. Oh, look, you know, like in the old days, I would have had the poppy. And, you know, like if you look at the Australian College of Anaesthetists, right, their logo is a bowl that has the sort of the steam coming out of it, right? Like it's. Like when we first started going out, I'm like, is that your college logo? This thing.
It's like, oh, what's that?
Cauldron with it.
Like, yeah. And I said, what's that? And he said, oh, that's the ether bowl. Can you believe it? The ether bowl. Right?
What?
It's awesome, right? So we talk about poppy, we talk about all these different things that they used to use. You know, I grow some of, you know, the old herbs that we use for change consciousness and stuff, you know, all legal. I don't do the legal ones. this is, you know, it's interesting to him when he goes, oh, see, that thing, I know what that plant is. We used to use that to dilate these
eyes.
And
you're
like, yeah.
Wow. See, this is what I'm so glad we're touching on this topic, because like what people think is a witch, they think we're so far removed from science that we're so far removed from things that you can prove. But it's like, what witches used back in the past was just like your belladonna, your nightshade, your monkswood, your wormwood, your like bugs, well, all of that stuff. It's like they don't realize that all of these things, that's how you create modern medicine. You just use derivatives.
The number one drug in the whole planet is aspirin.
Yeah.
White willow bark, right? Yeah. Salicylic acid, right? So you know, our witch friends, you know, way back would have been making teas and, you know,
grinding it
salicylic acid. And they would have been giving it to people, right? So this is not new.
Exactly.
No. And with that, I love that. So how, because I can also see like from your sites and everything as well, that you're very much into, have a really deep love and connection with nature as well. Mm-hmm. And I would just love to know a little bit more perhaps what your practice looks like and that weaving of the two with the science and nature and still keeping with that old ways, I guess, a little bit as well.
So like, I'm going to be probably very boring for people.
But see, that's the thing though. Like, it's really, it's not. And but it's also allowing people to kind of see that sometimes it's not so far removed from what they may be doing or,
Look, I think part of like the best way I can explain it is like my patrons or patroness, you know, like a lot of witches have a particular set of deities they like to work with, right?
Yeah.
So the overarching feminine force for me that I work with is Artemis, okay?
Yep.
Yeah. She's Artemis of the forest, of the trees, of the animals, you know? Yeah. So I know we were talking, Darren, earlier about rescue, you know, so I raise, you know, money for rescues all over Australia. You know, this is something I've done for a really long time. You know, very involved in animal activism, and you know, that's not part of my profile. I'm very quiet. I use my maiden name. we do what we do, you know. But for me, those sort of Artemistic practices are things that reflect my patroness. Mm-hmm. They're important to me, right? So in the morning, I get up and I like to move. I like to get the brain working. So I'll go for a run in the reserve, in the nature, you know, because that's what Artemis does. So this is very connected. I have two big dogs. I run with them. Like, runs with the hunting dogs through the
forest. Yeah.
You know, I do a small ritual, a grounding, a shielding, all that sort of thing in the, you know, when I come back. And then I have a kind of, you know, this is my normal schedule. I have a kind of discipline equals freedom for me. So I've got a, you know, deadlines, you know, so I write a certain time frame. I do other things, but, you know, I'm very disciplined about that. And then, you know, I do teaching, I construct programs. That's a way of giving back for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you think about the old-fashioned priestess paths, it's not about standing up there being, the priestess with the flower crown, right? It's about service.
Yeah.
It's about service in the community, right? So, you know, I'll take calls from, you know, younger witches coming through, you know, you mentor people, you do whatever you do. It's not something that I, you know, you talk about a lot.
No, that's right.
But I certainly follow the wheel of the year. Yeah. So every single, you know, time that we're coming up, I'll change the altar, I'll, you know, celebrate, I'll think about the psychological impacts of those beautiful celebrations.
Yeah.
Of course, I follow the lunar cycle, which is very important. I have a small house, but a huge garden. I work a lot with plants and plant magic and plant medicines. So,
you know, my language.
So, you know, I've always got something going, you know, in the garden.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of traditional, you know, if you think about it, which is
our
own stuff or collected our own stuff. I also live in a house that is perfect for my patron, who is Thor. So, you know, I have a very sort of earthy goddess, really, and then I have a very air-based sort of electrical sort of. I have a house that is sort of in a almost an natural amphitheater on a cliff, So we get storms coming in, 360, yeah. Got all that kind of thing. So like, I'm really happy today that we have a quiet house. The wind the last couple of days, I was just like, oh my God. Like, I had to cancel something. I was doing a Zoom thing. You couldn't hear from the town.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've tried, and you know, and I'm lucky too that I have a, yeah, you know, a husband who is very nature orientated as well. You know, a big sort of surfer and skier and, you know, those things. But for me, it's the everyday things. Your practice.
Yes.
Something like, you know, think about you cleaning your teeth, you know, like it's a ritual. Yeah. You're cleaning your teeth is a ritual, yeah, right? So doing what I do every day is a ritual, right?
And yeah.
For me, it's a huge, huge privilege to do what I do.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Huge. Like, I still can't believe I've come from this hardcore corporate life and being able to weave this, you know, life for myself, you know, like
it's really magical. And I love what you said, like, if it just circling back a little bit, like, I mean, for those that are watching on YouTube, they'll be able to see these, but so what you were touching on before about living how Artemis would live, and like, I've actually, so I've got your Goddesses and Gods and Grace the Power book, which I actually followed because I was seeing a lot of Apollo everywhere. So I followed the little ritual you said in here about getting up and honoring the sun and things like that. And I just love that because it's not just about having to cast a circle, call the portals, that a lot of like traditions believe in. I love that you've made it very practical, very accessible to people of how to connect with a deity that isn't the quote unquote, you know, doctrine of this is the only way to do it. This is a little bit more modern again.
You know, and Apollo is very close to my heart. I have a little statue of Apollo next to my statue of Artemis here, because they're the twins. So, you know, and I have a beehive. I have a beekeeper. I have a bee.
Yeah. Oh, I love bees.
So Apollo is the god of bees, right? So, you know, I try and make sure that I honor him as well, because I don't want anything
else. Bees. Yeah.
No, it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, look, my. Something I really enjoy doing, Darren, is to demystify. Allow me to do all the hard work. You know, I've got wonderful, great friends who are very, very amazing practitioners of Hellenismos, which is the Greek, you know.
Yeah.
I did my training for Artemis with, you know, Greek Hellenismos people, Artemistic temple. But the whole thing is, allow someone who's a nerd like me to go through all of the translations of the original and then allow the nerd like me to come back and try and make them into a demystified form.
Well, that's what I love, when that, it's so simple. Like,
that's what I try and do.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's authentic, but it's simple. And then that attracts people. Then they're like, oh, I don't have to have all these 15,000 things that, you know, I need to do, right?
Yeah.
I can go out and do it, you know?
And then another one that I wanted to raise for people, that because this is actually one of my personal favorites.
It's one of mine as well.
I love it. I love it because I'm actually doing a course at the moment to become a qualified meditation instructor.
Excellent.
Because like, whilst I can meditate, like it's another thing to then teach others to be self-sufficient. And what I loved about this particular one, like for those that aren't aware of this book, it's essentially, it's about the four elements, and it's got a little quiz at the start, which we both did the quiz together, Vicky and I, just
so that we did
that, and just because I was sharing it with her. And then it's got like a beautiful journey where you've got like affirmations for each day, and you're supposed to go through the 40 days and nights of like, you know, a reflection and a meditation. And I love it because, again, it's just another creative way that, like, we talked about this in the previous episode, that meditation really needs to be first and foremost in any witch's practice, because of the fact that it's a way to just get yourself into a magical mindset. And I love that in this book, it's like almost a very simple way to connect with the elements. Because I mean, you can just walk outside and connect with them.
Sure, but not everyone can.
Not
everyone
can
or does. And like, you know, for me, like, I like to connect with the elements by being outside, just like you.
Yeah.
Right. And there's this beautiful kind of, the Norse had a word for it, which was utoseta.
Yes.
Outside, sitting outside.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like a very simple thing, but not many of us do it. We don't sit outside and then look at all the elements and connect with them, right? So I guess, like I said, it also you if you sort of put it into this, okay, I can do it for 40 days and 40 nights. I can manage that, you know?
Give it into like bite-sized chunks rather than...
Yeah. The big whole hog of everything.
If I can bring people slowly but surely outside, yes. That would be great, yeah.
That's awesome. Vicky, did you want to talk about
I did. I would like to circle back to that. Sorry. Because I love it. It's one of my favorites. And I just wanted to jump to it because it is, as we mentioned in the bio, it's something that's been around for a number of years now. Yeah. And it is such an amazing resource because everything's always so Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
can I just tell you,
it's everything.
Like, oh, my God. The reason people go, oh, so, you know, how long you've been doing this? It's like, well, this will be our 12th edition.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel really old, right? 12th edition. And then they say, oh, you know, what's the big creation story? Well, the creation story was I had the shits. You get a really nice diary that I like. It was always Northern Hemisphere. And I would sit there at the beginning of the year with my little maths calculation. And I'd be putting all the... I'd be flipping
flopping it all around.
Yeah. And I wanted something that was, you know, like witch orientated, pagan orientated specifically. And there wasn't anything that was quite what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I thought, bugger it. Into that. It's Australian, isn't it? Bugger that. I think I'd like to do my own. So I went to my publisher and I tried to explain what it was.
Yeah.
And I've got a wonderful publisher. It's just, you know, female led also, you know, like really, really good.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, small Australian female led, right?
Is this Rockpool, right?
Yeah, Rockpool, right? Yeah. So Lisa, that's it. So, you know, I sat with Lisa and I'm like, so, and I explain what this thing is. And she goes, so you reckon people use this? You know,
like, oh, hell yes.
Diary, you know, like a physical diary, you know, because back then it was all about, you know, putting it in your phone. And
yes, yes.
I'm like, yeah, Lisa, I'm sure people still do it. I do it. I can't I think do. I'm an outlier. Like,
I love.
Right, this is 12 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And so she's like, all right, I'll tell you what. We'll give it a crack. We'll do 1 year and we see. And I'm like, brilliant. So we do the first one, right? And it sells.
Yeah.
I don't even understand this thing. Like,
I love it.
I really like it. Like, she made it beautiful as well, the first one. You know, really beautiful. And she goes, all right, let's do another one, right? And so she does another one and we sell a bit more. And then she starts getting inquiries from overseas. Like, would you do a, you know, could you do a Northern Hemisphere one like this, because it wasn't quite anything quite like what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely it's kind of grown, and so now we've got like different language editions.
Yeah.
Know, Northern Hemisphere. So this little
I love it.
Aussie diary that was born out of frustration.
Yeah, that's it.
That my publisher's gone, yeah, I don't know. Has become something that we both, you know, like I go, wow, look at it. You know, it's growing.
Yeah.
And during COVID, like, we were so worried that, you know, because we sell a year, sort of the 2021, we're selling in 2020.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know whether any, you know. Like,
no one's going to do it.
And I'm like, believe me, people need.
Yes.
We sold out the first run in October. Right, like nothing. Wow. You couldn't get another one.
I pre-ordered
right?
mine.
And so this, what's available there, right, in the second run. Yeah, right, it's second run.
Wow.
So, so COVID, you know, people went back to gardening. They went back to the ground. They went back to meditation, as you're talking about, Darren. They went back
to... They just started. I only just started gardening.
I'm trying to...
Can I tell you guys a secret? Because we only just found out today when it's coming out. Miranda Mueller, who is on my page a lot, she's a permaculture expert.
Yeah.
And I have written a book called Plants of Power. And it's coming out in April.
Yeah.
So you've got a scoop. No, I just
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Inside Scoop people, this is where you get all your witching.
I can get a cover art. If they'll let me have cover art, I'll give it to show you. But what this is this kind of very grounded, practical guide to about 66, 70 plants.
Oh,
all the really cool ones. And we broke it into seasons. And then we've done this thing where there's the practical and the magical aspects. Yep.
And is this Australia-centric or Southern Hemispherical centric?
Southern Hemisphere centric.
Amazing. This is like my whole brain.
but you know, it doesn't really matter because it sort of is just broken into seasons. So the plant
can flip it.
The air is still spring over there.
Yeah.
I think Vicky's having either a witchgasm or a nerdgasm.
Both.
Or a herbgasm, whichever.
All of them. I love plants and I love herbs.
We've got some, like,
it's like everything in one book.
Mandrake, which is very hard to grow. Like, we have to find that one. Like, I've been trying to grow mandrake for like 10 years and I finally got a little mandrake.
Did you?
Well, I've got a little, like, I don't want to touch it. Like,
it's it's like, don't look at it.
I don't look at it. I'm mandrake's bit.
Thank you.
I'm very careful. And then, you know, we've got plants that, you know, that everyone knows, but one thing that Miranda and I are very passionate about are the plants that people think are weeds. Right, but are actually very powerful plants, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you show someone a plant, you know, like chickweed.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I got that in my backyard. That thing's a weed. It's like, actually, it's not a weed. What you can do with it is, look, you can make a vodka out of it. Like, you can make chickweed.
Yeah.
Vodka, or you can chew something and, you know, if you've got a mozzie bite or a tick bite and put it on your head and it draws it out. Oh, I don't know. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So there you go. So no excuses after this, Darren. Like,
okay.
I know. Okay. You're going to be in now.
Look, I started off because, like, COVID, obviously, I'm from Melbourne. So, like, we were in hard lockdown from March until November. Yeah. I pretty much didn't leave my house. So, a few things happened for me. One was my 2020 diary, like, I'm not talking about your diary, I'm talking about my general 2020 diary, waste of bloody money. Because your diary, today I'm at home, tomorrow I'm at home. I'm at home. Like, but anyway, no, so that's why.
We talked about giving people refunds of 2020. Yeah. Like, oh, see that diary, you didn't use it.
Yes.
Well, in actual fact, like, I still have, and this, I don't have them here on display, but I actually, every year that I've bought your diary, I have still got it. It's on my bookshelf.
And yeah, see, I'm the same. I keep it.
When we've got it on the bookshelf, my husband's like, these are old. Why are you keeping them? I'm like, do not question. Like, I have put notes in there. I've put little things in there. Like, you know, exactly.
That's right. And that's what I keep it for, because that's what I love about it. It's not only that it's everything Southern Hemisphere that I don't have to go look anywhere else to kind of go find everything, but it's also got lots of beautiful little, like, it's got every season, it's got spells in it. It's got so much information as well, not just the planetary or moon.
Oh, like,
stuff,
you know,
as well. Like,
I get super upset when people go, oh, I just saw the moon and, you know, I've looked at it. I go, yeah, but did you see that there's a really good ritual to this particular god you can do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read that.
It's right there.
Why did it take me so long to write all these original spells and no one's So I'm very happy that you keep them for that reason.
Yeah.
Well, no, I definitely keep them. And one of the things that I love, and is this a new edition? Like, there's a section that talks about getting clear on 2021.
Yes.
It's got
I was gonna say, I don't remember that from any others.
Yeah, neither did I. So as well as being like a witch and everything else, like, I'm a life coach. So when I saw this, I was just like, oh my God. I was having like a coachgasm, because I'm just like, this is amazing. Because it's got that, not only has it got it at the start, but then each month, you've literally got like to drill down on, you know, what's important about this month, what's going to give me joy, what am I devoted to, ideas and musings. Like, I love that you've put all that in there, because there's so much care. And it's like, as a coach, people often think, oh, you know, when I'm trying to do goal setting with people, they think like a year is so long. And I'm like, okay, let's just set a goal for a month, or let's set a goal for the next 7 days. Like, by chunking it down, And they don't realize how much they can achieve in a year when you break it up into 12 sections or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's absolutely lovely and like.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that you like that bit because, you know, every year we try and put in a, you know, we tweak
everything. Yeah.
Something different. And to me, it's important that people feel they're progressing in their year. Like,
yeah.
New months in particular, that, you know, you get this sort of idea of the fresh start and all of that.
Yeah.
That people go, actually, I really want to go down this path and do this particular thing, you know? And
yeah,
reminded every lunar cycle, really, what that's how this is a really good way of doing it.
That's so awesome. And like, that's the thing is that Vicky and I, she doesn't know I'm going to say this, but I'm saying it anyway. Vicky and I actually love your diary so much that we've decided to create a competition on our Facebook page. So we've actually got a copy. This is the one that we're giving away. And also a copy of the Elemental Oracle that we've purchased and that we're going to be putting up as a competition.
Well, can I offer something? Like I feel like, you know, you put your hand in your pocket.
Oh, sure.
So I have a workshop coming up.
Yes.
That is the New Year's Resolutions workshop.
Oh, wow.
Right? How to get stuff that you want magically and how to write your own script for New Year's Eve and all of that. So how about I offer a place in that?
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
So I'll send you all the details. So
please do.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah,
I'd love to offer that. So we could.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's
because that's going to be amazing. Because like, so guys, like, see, we're not just a podcast. We give stuff. But just touching on that, like, I would actually love to visit this your Elemental Oracle because it's one that, like, again, with the book, the diary, I also pre-ordered this before it came out, so I was so excited when Amazon finally got it to me. but like, I'd love to hear a little bit about it because this is very different. Like, I've got so many of your Oracle cards, but this one is so different again. Are you able to touch on or give us a little inkling into how this came about or where was your inspiration from this deck?
I think I wanted to do something, you know, that was celebrating what is, right?
Yeah.
I look around, I was looking around when I was writing it, and there's a lot of this stuff that's all about ascension and Darcy, and anything but looking
here.
Yeah. And I find what is here, what is around us, you know, the stars, the planets, the, you know, the ground, the dirt. I work with the dirt, you know.
Yeah.
So incredibly wondrous.
Yeah.
Right? Good. Like, so amazing. Like, you know, I sometimes look at my, you know, my cat who had a visit earlier. You know, he comes in and he's covered in lavender flowers. Look at his big yellow eyes. And it's sort of like, I could sit there and watch you and smell you all day. You know, like, it's small things, right?
Yeah, my husband has this, that we have a kitten and he just goes around at, well, she's not a kitten now, she's a bit older, but he goes around and smells her. He's like, it's the new kitty smell. Like, I can just keep smelling her all the time. I'm like,
it smells so good. And my cats, you know, they're allowed to go out into the garden. You know, they're trying to come back before sunset and all the rest of it. They're only in my garden. And there's so many good things to roll in.
Yes.
You know, so I pick them up and, oh, you've been down the south.
Yeah, I know where you've been.
Smell the lavender. You know, and we've got lots of cat mint and catnip, and one of them likes that. The other one doesn't care. So, you know, he's often, you're like, oh man, you've lost an afternoon. You've been down.
You've been down there, haven't you?
Yeah. So to cut a long story short, it's kind of, I wanted to turn people on to the magic and the power of what we've got.
Yeah.
You can go over there and look at deities and all that. Half of my decks are all about the moon and, you know. But I kind of went, you know what? I want to share with people too the kind of elements that I use in my magic.
Yeah.
Right? I love using wind and electricity and magnetism and some of these, you know, gravity, right? Like things that you don't really think about using, but you do without
all the time.
About it often.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone out there knows how to defy gravity, please. I've been trying for years. It's just.
No, yeah.
No, we work with gravity, right?
So yeah, that's it.
But you know, it's really important. It was really important to me to see whether I could create something that was this really cool blend, you know, of alchemy and stuff. Because this is what we used to do with it this way. Strayed a little bit. So it was also really important to me that it was very modern. Like it looked very cool and very magical. And you know, I work with Kinga Britschke, who is like, we've got a couple of decks together now. Kinga's amazing, you know, like amazing. Look at
I was gonna say our work's beautiful.
Yeah, amazing. And when we work together, it's a really easy process because, you know, she's so her vision is so surreal and also grounded. We think about things like making sure that all age groups are in there, that we are very inclusive and there's a diverse range of ages and races and colours and, you know, this is something that, King is very passionate about as well, that this whole thing, when I gave Kinga the list, you know, sort of talking about process now, but it's sort of like, okay, I want to do this deck. This is the kind of elements I'm thinking of putting in. And then King is going down the list going, oh yeah, you know, how do you want to do this? And we're going back and forth. It was probably the hardest and the easiest because some of the cards are hard topics.
Yeah, because they're not kind of in the normal. Yeah.
But try doing inner core, right?
Yeah.
You know, try doing gravity, you know, that's kind of hard, or, you know, like pressure, you know, like those sorts of things. Dark matter.
Yeah.
What is it?
I was going to say, what is
it? You know what I said in the beginning? I said, just do a black card.
Yes.
We don't know. Great mystery of the world. Dark matter. We don't know what it is, right? Like the great mystery. No, we can't just have a blank card.
We can't have that. No.
An illustrator. No. Yeah. But, you know, she's amazing. So that's sort of where that was the process. And as I went along, I really wanted to give, like you would have noticed that there's a word of power for
each. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
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 So for those people who are casting, you know, and a lot of my work people do use as.
Yeah.
As to cast.
Yeah.
That I felt that the word, the breath, the vibration of the power word was a good thing.
Yeah.
Just showing this for those watching on YouTube as an example, the artwork is just spectacular.
I mean, look at it. It's just amazing. Right?
Yeah.
But the power, like I wanted people to be able to like call upon pressure in an old Latin way or to call upon a direction in ancient Norse. Yeah. You know, like that there's a kind of, let's go back with all this modern stuff. Let's touch on that.
Yeah. I was actually I'm glad you touched on this subject because I actually had as one of the follow-up questions I wanted to ask about the deck is your creative process. Because for me, like, and this isn't a read, I love this about you. Like, I feel like you're pumping out a new deck almost every other few months with new decks, and they've got a different energy, a different topic, a different feel. And like, I personally love them because it's like, sometimes I'm one of those people who, my husband hates this, but I collect so many decks.
You're not the only one.
You collect so many decks. But now I'm in the process where I'm actually trying to create my own deck. Now that you know, so like, I'd love to know, like, where do you get your inspiration or how do you start that process yourself?
Okay.
Where do you start from personally? Because I know there's so many ways.
So I try and have in my mind that I want to do, if I can, a deck or a book, it doesn't have to be a deck, every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's sort of every sort of ring around the sun.
Yeah.
So that's my cycle, you know, like every ring.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have something, right? And that's not because of the commercial aspect of it at all. It's because I'm a creatrix. I want to create.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's what I like to do. So with decks, The first two, the gods and titans and goddess and sirens, was easy because I wanted to talk about the gods and goddesses, right? Yeah. What do I want to talk about, right? What do I want to communicate? And I wanted to also, selfishly, I wanted a really good guide deck, set of guide decks for my own teaching.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was kind of in the way that I would teach it, through mythos, very mythos orientated. Every single one of those cards has a story of a mythos.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, so it's not just like here's information about the goddess, it's here's the story about this goddess, one of the stories, right? Plus information. So I'm also, as you notice, very detail and research orientated.
Very much so. Yeah, and I love it.
There's always so much information.
That has been interesting because, like, that deck, you know, and the divine animal deck booklet was the thickest one that my publisher has ever produced.
Oh, really?
When I sent it in, I said to her, oh, no, here it is. And she must have looked through it and seen the word count. And she goes, oh, I reckon we're going to have to, you know, do a decent edit on this because, you know. And I said, you better read it first and then we'll talk about an edit. And when she came back, she goes, yeah, I don't know where I can edit. Because, and I'm like, yeah. And I said, so how about we just sort of not edit, you know, like we edit, but like, you know, we don't, like she was thinking,
cut it.
It's just so, like, I understand why you've got all that information in there. And I love the way you've broken it up. And like it's just going to be such a fat book. how am I going to do this? How am I going to put it in the box? How am I going to, you know? But look, they did this fantastic job. And now it's in all these different languages and, you know, all of that. They just had to redesign it.
That's it. Got them thinking out of the box and getting creative. Yeah,
exactly, right? And you notice that the booklets are color now and, you know, really cool. But for me, it's kind of like the process is what's important for me to teach about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's often part of it. The other thing is I go for things that I don't feel like there's a lot of information out there
in something that's missing in the market per se.
I never look, oh god, it's hard because I don't look at, I'm notorious for not looking at other people's work and not looking at other decks. Like I'll pitch oh, you know, there's one out there like that. I'm like, oh, okay. Oops. And then I'll say, oh, well, what if we do it like this? You know, like, and, okay, all right, yeah. Because I don't look, right? I think about what I would like to write about or contribute. And then, you know, we talk about it from there. The process for me is I'm a big picture down person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone's either some detail up or big picture down.
Yep.
Know this from being a coach.
Yes. Chunk down or chunk up person. Yeah.
Right. Chunk down, right? So I see the vision. Right? So I'm an Aquarian, like double.
Enough said.
Vision. But I got like lots of grounded earth throughout the rest of the chart, right? So I've got this, you know, big picture thing. So I get post-it notes. And I think about the different cards and the theme, like I get the theme very, very strongly, very focused of what I want to write about. And then I kind of put up the cards on post-it notes on the window. I basically have these yellow legal pads that I write, I try and work it out on. Old habits die hard. And then I start doing the research.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I go down the research path, I go, oh, I've just found out this thing and I need to go that way, right? Yeah. Or, that's really interesting, right? So sometimes there's a change the more I find out. I also love talking to experts, like so the Viking deck, I spoke to a lot of archaeologists from the, you know, different universities.
Oh, wow, that would have been fascinating.
Oh, yeah, but it changes all the time. So like, you think, I've got this information and they ring you a month later and go, actually, we've just found this thing that's older, you know, so you know that it's sort of, you know, you're going to do the very best you can. I've even got this sort of thing down the bottom that says all this information was right
at the time.
but the animal deck, for example, was so beautiful to write because I try and whittle down, you know, if you love animals, try whittle it down.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you do that?
Yeah, but I tried to whittle them down by story, because I've they're divine animals, right? So I've likened it to mythos, which is very close to my heart. They're all wonderful stories. But then I tried, there's a section on each animal where you've got the latest information on that animal, and of course their status on the red list. So whether it, you know, whether it's endangered or common or so, you know, you read certain things about an animal, you know, so for example, you might look at lions or you might look at coyotes or whatever you're looking at. And then you're sort of not getting the information. So this is the researcher in me, like, I need to find the lion dude. Who is the lion?
Who
dude?
Is it?
Yeah. Who is the... Yeah. And so you go down these tracks and then you find people just as passionate as you are about your thing.
Yeah.
But it, you know, are the lion dude or the, you know, whatever. And they've got this information for you. And you're like, oh, you know, am I correct in saying this? Yes. You know, what is something about lions that I don't know? You know, and then, oh, well.
Yeah. Here you go.
So, yeah, it's great, right? So, but it takes to do that, like, that's where.
A lot of time.
It takes time. Yeah. So that's, you know, the time part. Whereas when you're writing about, say, something like Aradia, like a very interesting kind of...
I love that deck. I've got that one.
That's the Me Too deck. That's the...
Yeah.
but when you're doing the research there, you know, that's also interesting when something is... like there's two schools of thought and you've got to kind of, you know, like, was she real? No, she's not real. Was she the person that went around Europe doing this? Yes. Was it? No, you know, it's all me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and people are very, very wedded to their
God. Yeah.
So, you know, finding a way of communicating that it kind of doesn't matter. Here's the two schools of thought, but it really doesn't
matter.
Here's the symbology. Here's what she's going to teach you.
Yeah.
This is where mythos comes alive. You know?
Yeah, that's it. And I love in that one how you have like the verse and
yeah, that. Yes, exactly, right.
So it just brings that extra magic. Yeah.
So I thought I'd do a very poetry thing, and I've got sort of poetry in the Halloween deck as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's people use those in their spells.
See, look at him. Here he goes.
I'm just product guy.
Oh my God! See this deck, right? Like when I did it, I wanted something beautiful. Like you can see. Right?
Oh, and that it is. It is so gorgeous.
And I wanted to go down the Festival of Samhain in a real, deep way, but also, you know, fun, because the people be doing this at Halloween, right? That deck, like I sort of thought, oh, this will be the least successful. You know, like once I've done it, I kind of think, oh, you know, I worry for the publisher, will this thing sell? Like it's such a narrow, you know. That's my number one bet. So.
I've made it a ritual that every year on Halloween. I mean,
wow.
We've talked about this on a previous episode. Yeah. We treat Halloween as its own thing, separate to Samhain, because that's how we personally honor it. But every year on Halloween, I literally, this is my go-to deck, where I specifically do a reading on Halloween night. With the Halloween deck, it's like a kind of little thing that I like to do.
I've got my friends and I don't even think of it. Once it's sort of out, and this is something else you're going to find, Darren, if you're doing your own deck. Once it's out and it's sort of this object, it's sort of not yours anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of everybody's, it's not yours. So,
send the baby out of the nest kind of thing.
So when I say we read, you know, people come around and like that we'll read from the deck, I don't actually think about it like my deck. That's not my deck. That's a deck, and we use it. It's a tool. And we use lots of others as well. But like, you know, so that and the Queen of the Moon, which has all the different moon phases, you know, and the seasonal moons. those two, I kind of, because I use those in teaching and in tool, you know, like when I'm trying to teach someone lunar cycles, so easy to put all of those moons up on the, you know, like, see, this is me, I need to produce a tool. Teach people, that's how I see it, you know?
Yeah.
So here's this big tool on the table. I don't see it like my deck, dead set. I don't, it's the tool, right? It becomes the tool. So like this is the tool. Like this is something I'm, you know, it's my own diary. I don't really think of it as my own diary.
It's just your diary to keep, to keep your notes in it, all the rest of it.
It's got notes, it's disgusting. You should see my handwriting, right? Well, this is my process anyway. Once it leaves me, and also, Darren, you're going to find that there's a huge sort of time gap between your thinking and everything, and it being published, like before you have it in your hand. So if you're not into delayed gratification,
I'm fine. My husband, however, he's a Capricorn. He needs instant gratification. I'm a Cancer, and I go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah, awesome, right? So, so even the fastest thing that we produce is the diary, right? Yeah. So I've already written the 2022. It's been designed right now. I'll probably get the, you know, I'll be looking at the layouts January probably, and then they'll press the button, you know, if all goes well in February, and then we'll have them by sort of August, July.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the fastest, right?
Yeah. Fast. Wow.
Whereas a big book like Plants of Power, which is going to be like a really beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I love hardcover books. I love books. I love books.
Hardcover, right? I mean, I'm a Kindle girl, right? I read so many books.
Oh, see, I can't.
No, I like a physical book. I like a physical.
I like physical books when they're beautiful or I need, you know, for fiction, you know, like. And I'll then I'll buy copies of the ones I love, right? And I'll go.
Yeah.
I read like 30 books a year.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought I read a lot. You
I think you probably shamed.
You literally. So we've got, like, when we built our house, the whole reason why we chose, because we only moved in this year, the whole reason why we chose this particular layout is that the front room is like what they call a formal lounge.
Yes.
But it had this little, like, how do you describe it? It's like it kind of cuts
like
into
a little
the wall,
kind of
into the wall. And the vision we had was to do a wall to wall shelving, because we wanted to call the front room the library. And we actually have now built wall, like, thank you COVID, I had a lot of time on my hands, so I built it. And people think that it was part of the house, but I actually just went to IKEA and I knew the measurements, so I got sectionals that kind of fit together to fill the entire cavity with a wall to wall floor to ceiling bookshelf, and we called the room the library.
Oh, I'm impressed.
So we sound a little bit snobby, but and so I love having my physical books up there. So I've tried to do Kindle and I just can't. I just can't. I love to be able to go literally just, I sit there and I do this sometimes. I'm like,
oh no. I get you, right?
Like, I love the smell of a page turner. Oh.
The author's copy comes, right? And normally, press, right? And sometimes it's still sticky, you know?
Completely hot off the press.
Yes. Oh my God. You know, and the cards, they come and they're like still sticky off.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Yeah. It's great. But like I said, I have a very small house and I,
that's
it's
right.
Beautiful, but it's small. And I have this ginormous garden. I like huge. So it's kind of like, you know, my husband and I have talked
about
of us, and we talk about, maybe we'll add, you know, maybe we'll add to the house. And then I'll go, oh yeah, but I actually, with that money, I would actually like the bamboo garden at the back.
That's right.
Nice.
So we haven't ever quite got.
It doesn't quite get there. It keeps going out into the garden. Oh.
Yeah, so I have to have my Kindle.
You actually just reminded me when you said bamboo, that whenever someone says bamboo, I always think of it. And because you've been to Japan, did you ever go from Kyoto out to Akihabara, where there's like the bamboo forest?
Yes.
So Vicky, if you ever go to Japan, you have to go to this place.
I must admit I'm writing all of this down.
It's just outside of Kyoto, and it's like, it's called Akihabara. So it's like this bamboo forest, and when you walk down, it's literally just bamboo on both sides, and it's kind of whimsical because when the wind blows through it,
yeah,
it has this almost like a whistling sound because the wind's kind of going between the bamboo.
Yeah,
shafts.
And it's kind of
shafts, whatever they are.
Yeah, I actually don't.
I don't know what they're called. What do you, what is a tall thing of bamboo called?
Yeah,
it's
actually
not a shaft.
Like a kind of, it's a forest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've kind of gone off topic, but it was just because when you said bamboo, I'm like, oh, I just had this flashback to Japan.
Like, yeah. Look, I'll go with you. That's
I'll just go vicariously.
Yeah. Send a photo. Show her a photo of it.
Oh, yeah. I will. I'll send you a photo because we took photos in Akihabara because it's just beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Now, I was actually being a little bit rude looking down, and there was a reason for it though, because I wanted to show people watching on YouTube one of my favorite cards in your Halloween deck. Like, I just love this one. It's the Underworld card.
Oh.
So it's gorgeous because it has like this beautiful skull, and it's got like the pomegranate, which is obviously, for those that know their mythos, it's connected to Persephone and the Underworld and stuff. And it's just like, it's just such a gorgeous deck. I'm not surprised that this is one of your bestsellers.
Yeah, look, Jimmy Newton has done a fantastic job on this one. It's really gorgeous. And just the way that, you know, I think in the beginning, there was a lot of fear around, oh, I think this is going to be a really dark deck. And I said to Jimmy, yeah, let's make lots of black, but this white.
Oh, it's so colourful.
Flowers, pomegranate, everything coming out of that. Inside of the box is bright yellow, you know, like it's bright orangey yellow, you know, like. So yes, you can do things that are dark, but they can be beautiful.
Definitely.
Yeah, and this is a hard thing though, like me saying, oh yeah, I want to make my own Oracle deck, like look at me go. But like, then when I look at all I look at all the people who have got decks that I'm just like, oh my God, the bar is so high.
But, you know, there should be no pressure, right? Because I can tell you, I remember before I wrote my first book, right? Mm-hmm. I walked into, I don't know whether you know, whether you guys have a big Dimex, but there's a huge.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those gold members who spend
that. Okay, right. Me as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
So back in the day, you know, 20, you know, years ago, you walked into the big Dimex on George Street, and I went up and they had a decent, would you believe, mind, body, spirit. They used to call it a cult section. I'm telling you, right? And it was new mind, body, spirit. It was like a cult. And so I remember walking up there and I'd started writing my first book, and I walked up there and I looked and there was so many books on witchcraft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like so many books on occult, right? And this was in a Dimex, not even a specialty bookstore.
Yep.
And I remember standing there going, why would I do this? You know, God, everything that probably has to be written is already written on this subject. Like, why am I going to waste all this time? And at the time, I was working full time in corporate and working really long hours and traveling overseas once a month and, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? So really time poor. And I would be coming home and I would write for a couple of hours every night. So, you know, it was a big sacrifice to do
that. Yeah.
And then thinking, oh, maybe there's nothing is ever going to come of this. And, you know, there's this yada yada.
A little voice that's always there.
Self-doubt, yep.
Yeah.
Self-doubt and like, why? You're wasting your time. There's other things you could be doing. And I kind of walked out of there going, oh, you know, like feeling really bad. And I remember catching the train home from the city, feeling very poor me, very sorry for myself.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, you know, you come back and you kind of, I had this habit of rereading the last thing that I would have written the day before just to kind of get myself into it. And I kind of realized that I wasn't writing this to get published, mm-hmm. right? I was writing this because it was in me. Yeah. And if it was in me, that means it's my voice. And therefore, rationally, no one else is me. So what I have to offer is going to be very different than anybody else. They're not me, I'm not them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is what I tell that every writer I know, every person that wants to produce something, you know, and they look at, oh, there's so many decks out there, or there's so many. don't look.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Have your blinkers on, right? That's it. You're going to produce something that is your voice, your spirit, your spark that comes out of you.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you and I wrote, both of us still a Halloweener, you know, deck.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's not a competition. That's what I say. Right. It's not a competition. Mm. Do you, how many decks are out there or books on witchcraft or gods and goddesses? Or like, so many.
Yeah.
But none of them are mine.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are, no one tells that story the same way I tell it, right? Yeah. Nobody sees like Kinga, you know, like.
Yeah, that's it.
There's no competition, right? Yeah. There's plenty of room out there for, we need more creators and creatrixes in the world, right? We've got enough accountants, we've got enough politicians. Like, we need more people out there doing beautiful work that's going to be of service to people.
Yeah.
That's
so beautiful. I love
that's a lovely,
are you
lovely
listening? Message. I hope you're listening.
I literally feel like Stacey's like talking into my soul. Like,
yeah. And if you need, and if you need a cheer squad at any time, yes, you just say, "Stace, I'm having this moment," and I will cheer squad you.
That's dangerous because I might actually take you up on that.
Like, because you know what? I've got, there's a few people I know that have written, you know, and finally got something published. And they're, you know, once you see it, it's almost like, oh my God. I remember getting like, I don't quite believe that, you know.
Is it real?
And did I really write this? Because there's a big gap and
yeah.
From you. And I can bet you, you do one and then you're going to be like, that's gone. And then your mind is already working on what you want to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the next baby.
Going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've already got vision of a few different concepts and ideas. And because I'm a person that I have to practice the whole less is more, because I want to put everything into one. And I'm like, wait, why can't I just take that one and make a different thing, and then that one could be for what over there, and that one could be there, and then before I know it, like, I'm like, oh God, am I now, I thought it was going to be one, am I now committing to
now 8? It's 50.
Or 50, yeah,
that's okay, but you gotta kind of at least break it down. That's the process. Yeah. Like I said, I have, like, you know, I've gone into my publisher a couple of months ago and went, I've got these three ideas for decks, you know, and she's like, oh, I like all of those. I'm like, great, you need to tell me which one do you want me to do. I'll show Kinga, right? So we go to the illustrator, and illustrator, like, she's awesome. Like, yeah, I think I'd much prefer to work on that one first. I like the three of them, but I want to work these of the order. And so then you'll go, excellent. Someone's made this.
Thank you.
Someone's made the decision.
I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think I would pitch the idea if I didn't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing, you know? But next year is more like, I had this you know, feeling that I wanted to write books for a bit. All right, you know,
yeah,
a lot of work in a deck book, let me tell you. That's like 90,000, 100,000, 120,000 words in some of those.
Yeah, it's just because they look little, they're packed full of it. Yeah,
there's so much information.
Yeah,
so much information. So, you know, this time I thought it'd be really nice to have something full size.
Yeah, nice secret,
really good. Yeah. So you know, the next few bigger things are books, right? So
awesome.
But you got to go with what you feel like you want to work on, because there's nothing worse than sort of working on something you don't want to work on.
True.
Yeah, that's true. It. You want that passion to come through, that feeling.
Oh, there's nothing worse than working. You know, like I have worked, you know, when I was, you know, doing commercial writing and journalism.
Yeah.
I once took the worst assignment. I actually was working as a ghostwriter for a celebrity for their book, and it was the lovely person, but I will never do anything like that.
Right? Yeah, because it's you're giving your voice to someone else. It's that whole, I get it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the thing, is because us as witches, like, our word is everything.
Authenticity.
Yeah, that's power. It. I was about to say, it's so much full of power.
Oh yeah. So I, you know, this is early in my path, you know? So it was just sort of like, like, really hard. So, you know, other commercial writing for a long time was, you know,
quite fine and easy and strategic and fun, you know, but
yeah,
that really showed me what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
So you just got to be aware of those things if you do this work.
Well, that's I think that's amazing life lesson.
Yes.
Like, stuff that like that's amazing.
Just beyond, yeah, even yeah, beyond like publishing and things like that. Like it yeah, really is that there's so many aspects where we doubt ourselves and things like that, and you need and to have that authenticity.
And thank you, Stacey, for sharing that, because it's yeah, very easy for people like when they like, I mean, I don't want to dumb us down a little bit, but Vicky and I are just a couple of friends who decided to start a podcast, and then I never would have thought in my wildest imagination that we would be interviewing people like yourself.
Yeah.
And just, I love the fact that you're full of so much humility, and it can show that, you know, we all come from somewhere and we make ourselves something. You know what I mean? It's not yeah, like you woke up and I'm going to be a...
That's it.
Come out of the womb, emotion. Like...
I come from a really, you know, you use the word humble, I come from what you would call a very humble, blue collar, poor background.
Yeah.
You know? And I have parents that work their, you know, rings off to, you know, be able to give us the best education we could have and feed us. And, you know, like I was only talking to my mum the other day about, she was like, oh, you know, some weeks I didn't know what I was going to give you to eat. And then you go, all right, well, look, you know, I've been able to go from that to, you know, doing, you know, good corporate work and business and, you know, having education and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then kind of deciding I'm going to take a bloody big risk. Leave my really well-paid, externally exciting job that everyone wants. Like when I was telling everyone I'm going to leave my work and become a professional witch. Can you believe that? Right? Like a big corporate job.
Yes. Oh, I would love to have been a fly on that wall.
Goes, are you part of a cult? Like, is this a cult? Right.
Oh, that's such a bum thing to say too.
And then I gave her my book. I gave her a manuscript copy of my book. I didn't tell. I told no one. And I gave her out and I said, read that, and then you tell me whether you feel the same way. And so she comes back. This is Witch in the Boardroom. This is my first book.
Yeah.
And she comes and she goes, I said, I didn't realize it was like that. Oh, if it's like that, that's kind of like business coaching. She's trying to
get it.
Try to work it out.
Legitimize it kind of thing.
Right. But my dad was just like, you are going to be poor.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks.
My dad's awesome. My dad's an ex-truck driver, you know, playing down the line.
Exactly how it is.
Okay, look, I'm proud that you've done this, but you're going to be poor. Right?
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
But that's all right. That's their generation.
Yeah, no,
that's
I know.
Right.
I know.
That's exactly
really
it.
Really struggle to get a roof over their heads, you know? Like,
So
for me to kind of go, I'm leaving my big job and I'm going to be over here. And I was like, but Dad, I'm going to be a writer. It's sort of the same thing, but I'm going to have my own business. You know, like there's all this pulling together. Mine. Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, because I'm his daughter, you know. They see you in ponytails and pigtails.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, that's how they see you. So now they're really proud, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't date her at all.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say the first one over.
Got her own business, you know, like they're all like, look at this. But back then, I said to my dad the other day, do you remember, like, you were like, you're going to be poor. That's what you said. Like, you're going to have no money. And he was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't say that.
I would have been behind you all the way.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I didn't. Like...
I love it.
It's great. Selective.
That's right.
But anyways, like in all honesty, Stace, it's been absolutely amazing.
It's been wonderful.
Oh, you guys are great. Like I said to you before, it's really lovely and refreshing to be able to do something like this with witches, with people who understand a little bit about what you do rather than me answering why I'm not sitting here with my pointy hat.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have one, which I do put on only for Halloween, but...
Full transparency, I did have a conversation with Vicky and I was like, I don't think that this would be an appropriate episode for me to wear my cute little cat t-shirt that it cats over the cauldron saying, I'll hex you. Like, you know, I thought...
Oh, you could, because it's cute.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, for Stacey, I'm going to, you know, be so cutesy like with the I'll hex you kind of...
Understand I'm not mean, right? I'm not mean.
No, I know.
I'm just... kind of like there's a few things that I would wish that more of us would dickler on, you know,
yeah.
And things like the word witch, right?
Yeah.
Standalone in its own power with a capital W, you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
We don't have to
has that
scriptures against it. We don't have to apologize for it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That it's always been a word of power that, you know, we need to reclaim, so it's part
of and create that honor again
for that. Yeah, that's when I took my vows, right?
The
person that I took my vows with said, you know, besides your normal, you know, silence, blah blah, blah,
yeah,
what is something that you want to make as your work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great work, you know, we all have a great work, right? Or part of a great. And it was this, the importance of trying to bring honor to that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been harder than I thought. Like I thought years down the track, I'd be like,
doesn't matter anymore. You wouldn't even have to worry about it.
Like, no, you know, but we're still there. And, you know, we still have discrimination and we still have people that won't schools to us or hotel, you know, venues, you know, or people that look down on you or, you know, think that you're in league with Satan or something, you know, like.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Right.
I mean, like, even for me, it was when we first did this podcast, that was the first time I had actually publicly
stepped out of the
official broom closet. I mean, a lot of people know and I've been practicing for many, many years, but. It was that thing,
and
because there's a fear there. Yeah.
It's a big deal. Like, you know, like I said, I remember thinking, this could destroy me.
Yeah.
Like, could destroy my reputation, my status, you know, not this, you know, I don't mean status, but my work, you know.
But yeah, that's through your work.
A whole bunch of things, you know, and it was worse back then, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right.
But now it's getting a little bit easier, but still so much misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that where we can, that we, you know, either leave it alone or we educate, you know, like it's either one or the other.
Well, that's why now I'm that guy I specifically in public will wear something, like one of my favorite new t-shirts says, not every witch lives in Salem.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I wear that down the street and people look, like people take the double take to like, wait, what?
What?
And then when they read it, they're like, oh, what's that mean? And I explain, well, I'm a witch. And they're like, what do you mean, witch? And I kind of give them the easy version. Witch.
What part of the word don't you?
I know, like, isn't it? It's like,
Or the usual.
There's enough information out there now that you should know what this is.
Yeah. And the first question I usually get is, don't you mean a warlock? I'm like, no.
No.
Witch. No.
I'm a witch.
Yeah.
That's it. They're like, you're not a wizard? I'm like, this isn't Harry Potter. I'm a witch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the wizard. Yeah.
Yeah. They either think warlock or wizard. I'm like, no.
Yeah, because of the male.
Witch.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm a witch. And they're like, but can boys be witches? I'm like,
yes.
Can girls be truck drivers? Like, can girls drive a truck?
Show something, some evidence of that? Or
Yeah, I'm just, it just baffles me. But anyway, I'm not going to get into it.
No,
like,
no. It is important, though. I love that you're doing that because it is important to have that conversation, you know. It is, and it's also important to sort of pick your battles if you're going.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
It's actually, I don't want to go down another tangent, but like a very funny story. Like,
oh, go!
Because I'm just conscious of your time.
Okay.
So like my husband and I were actually doing a surrogacy journey in Canada.
Oh, wonderful.
And more like it was progressing to a certain point. Like, so December 2018, we went over to Canada to give our sperm and everything so we could create the embryos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then since then, it's kind of been on hold because we were progressing with someone here, and then for a year it kind of went nowhere. Then we decided to change, with wipe our hands clean, and we then a new friend offered to carry for us here, but then COVID happened. So we're like, oh, what's gonna happen? So during COVID we thought, let's just forget about it for now. They're still in the freezer, the everywhere, they're still safe.
Yeah.
But then we were contacted by our concierge service in Canada saying, hey, we've been contacted by an agency saying there's a surrogate ready to go, but like they want, can I float your profile by this surrogate in Canada? And so we talked about it. We're like, well, of course you can. We wrote a little blurb, like we're to sell ourselves to this person. By the way, shout out to Angela, who lives in Ontario.
Hello, Angela.
She now listens to our show. But prior to that happening, my husband, he's very much a Capricorn. It's all about practical, logical, rational, reason, like all that kind of stuff. He's like, you need to put your Facebook on super private.
Oh.
Like, just in case. He's like, just in case. Let's just be sensible about it. He's like, I love that you're all into your witchy stuff. Like, I love it. I support it. Just, we don't want to scare the girl. I'm like, okay, cool. So I made it super private. I hid everything, da da da. Then we got, we ended up exchanging some emails, and I kind of slid in there. I'm like, oh, so what type of TV shows are you into? And I'm like saying, oh, I love, you know, The Good Witch, and I love Charmed, and I love Sabrina, and I love Buffy, and Angel, Vampire Diaries, like just putting all of these occulty type shows in there. And she's like, oh, I love all those shows too and stuff. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I kind of slid in there that about astrology. I said, oh, so what star sign are you? And we went down that conversation. Then it was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go down to a crystal shop later to buy some crystals. And like, I was just throwing little bits here and there into the conversation. And then there was one day where I said, oh, do you guys have any tattoos? Because I was going to show them this tattoo that I designed. Yeah, very nice. Because it's got like the alchemical symbols, and it's got like stuff, like, you know, so I thought I'll show them the tattoo and see how they react. And then I also showed them this one, which is a phrase that I got translated into Arabic.
Yeah.
And when I sent them the photos, her husband, because we're in a little group chat, the husband goes, oh yeah, like I really love what that one means. I'm like, I haven't told you what it means. He's like, oh no, we saw it on your Instagram. I'm like, and I'm like, oh, you've seen my Instagram. And they're like, oh yeah. And then Angela's jumped in. She's like, you weren't supposed to tell him that we stalked him on Instagram. I'm like, wait, so you've seen all of my Instagram? She's like, oh yeah, we saw everything. I'm like, oh, so you know, like the witchcraft stuff? But she goes, yeah, what about it? I'm like, I was worried how I was going to come out of the closet to you about witchcraft. And she's like, oh no, I love all that stuff. Like, just you be you. So since then, I'm like, Facebook's back on public. And I'm like,
oh, hey, great.
Out again.
But there was that point of like, where I was that, like, you worried. Will I like tell her?
Is this going to stop us having this journey?
Oh yeah.
It's a big thing.
But this, yeah, no.
Even in small ways, you know, I've learned to kind of go for the non-important. I mean, yours.
Yeah.
Important, right? But
yeah,
I might be at a dinner table with lots of doctors, because my husband's a doctor.
Oh yeah,
medical people. And then they're like, oh, what do you do? And there's no way I'm gonna I just don't want the conversation.
That's the thing, isn't it?
I mean, it eventually gets there if they're interesting enough, right?
So
I will go, oh, I'm an author. And what kind of an author are you? I'm a non-fiction author. Right.
What type of books have you written?
I love this.
Away, most people then go, oh, and they go and talk about themselves. And I notice that it never gets it. Like, I reckon 80% of conversations go, I go author, nonfiction, and then they don't ask anymore.
Then that's it.
Right?
Yeah. And it's kind of
fine. And then occasionally you might get, oh, what kind of stuff do you write? And I go, oh, I write about ancient religions, ancient history, mythos, and I'll go down a little bit close. You know, it's not like because witchcraft is not the only thing I write about, right?
So yeah, that's it.
So then they're like, okay. And then you'll get maybe 15% that'll go, oh, I'm fascinated by that. La, 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 have you got any books that you can tell me that I might know? And then you go, oh, generally they know The Diary.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll go, oh, I do a lunar and seasonal diary. Oh, I know that one. I know that. Oh, I'm really into the moon, right? And so, you know, and then that's an easier conversation.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. But if I sat at that table and went, "Oh, I'm a professional witch. I'm a witch." That's what I'm doing.
you get it, right? Like,
yeah, that's
it. Just a conversation that, like, I don't want to be on the back foot about. I don't want.
No, you don't want to have to be doing that or explaining yourself or.
And then, like, there could be somebody who's really objects to that, and then I've got my poor husband's got to deal with that. Oh,
can you just do it just once and record it?
I have done it when I've kind of sat at a table and they've all been very selfish.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes there's a selfish conversation going on where they're only talking about their own stuff. And then they kind of like, and you've been sitting there for like 2 hours and you've been trying to connect with it and nothing is happening. And they finally get around to you. You know?
Let's drop the bomb.
Are you a doctor's You know, nothing wrong with that, but like that isn't like.
That's the assumption.
Down in the list of what I am, you know? And, and then my husband looks at me and just goes, oh, don't. Fucking angry about the doctor's wife thing, you know? And I'll go, no, I have my own business. And then they'll go, oh, right. Well, what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm a witch.
Oh, I love this so much.
just with if I may, resting witch face.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. And so then there's no sound at the table. Yeah. And I'm really good at now. It's one of the things I've learned as you start to get older, that to give no fucks. You get better at that. And so I kind of sit there and say nothing. You know, like, do you
just
have
to let them go?
Just let them tick over what that means.
Yeah. And then normally somebody because I won't break the silence, right? Somebody break the silence. I'm like, oh, like Salem witch, like harmed. Or, you know, they'll find
some point of reference.
Thing, you know? And my husband will go, no, sort of like Samantha. Out of Bewitched.
Oh my God, I love your husband.
Oh, he's really funny. He's funny, but you know, he does a very unfunny job.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's learned now. Like he couldn't quite believe. I don't think he could quite believe the, you know, just how some people, most people, 90%, but as you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Bad reaction, they're more, oh, I'm curious, tell me about it, right?
Yeah.
You have the 10% that will actually leave the table because you're there.
Yeah, I've been kicked out of a cafe before.
Oh, yeah, you told me this story.
Yeah, because a few of my friends had had some cards out and we got kicked out and asked not to come back again.
There you go, right? You know, like I would want, if I had a cafe, I would want people like you in the cafe.
Well, that's the thing. We were there happy. There was a whole big group of us. We would have been staying there all night. We would drink all the stuff, buying stuff.
Bringing your friends,
Yeah, that's right. But no, we got kicked out, so...
Yeah, so it happens, right? So
it does.
There's a lot of young folk out there that go, oh, I've never had anything happen, you know? Mm.
Like, it will happen. As sad as it is, it will.
Yeah, but sweetie, it will.
Yeah,
so no, I'm glad we talked about this, even though I was like, oh, yes. I won't ask any more questions because it's going to go over time. But no, because this is very good. It's a good, healthy conversation to have because these days a lot of the modern day witches, and I don't want to say kids these days because
now we sound really old.
but in all honesty, like,
oh, we are old. I'm old. I'm really old. I've decided I'm going into my croneship. I've decided.
No, because it's like when you look on like the Insta witches and the TikTok witches and stuff like that, like they like to. They're attracted to the hype and the coolness of being a witch.
Yeah.
But I don't think they realize that there's an other side to it.
Yeah.
The side that's not all the, oh, look at my cutesy little photo of my cauldron or my cutesy little setup of my spell that I'm doing, or I'm going to record, or what that ridiculous thing, they're going to curse the moon.
I heard about that from someone else and just
went, yeah, I'm the same. I'm like, what?
Oh, like, really? But anyway, so this is why when people take this on as a life path, it is literally a life path. It's not just something that we do because it's cute or on trend or in, it's a fad. This is our path and this is like, it's sacred to us and it means something. So I'm glad that we could have these types of conversations with people like
you
who've been in the spotlight for so long. So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, gosh, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Joy. Thank you.
It's been amazing. So, guys, if you want to follow Stacey, we're going to put all of her social media handles and stuff for Instagram and whatnot in the links below. But if you want to check out her website, it's themodernwitch.com. And you can check out all of her books, all major bookstores, as well as support your locals if you've got them in your area.
That's it.
Otherwise, you can get them off her website. And she does teach some amazing classes as well. Her schedule's online. So go out there, be inquisitive. And if you want to enter our competition, we'll put those in there.
We'll put all the details
all
up.
All the details up on our site.
Contact you after this, okay? I'll
put absolutely. And you'll be able to win either this or this. So either the diary or the cards or a spot at Stacey's upcoming series or class. So thank you once again, Stacey.
Oh, no, thank you
very much for having me. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome, so much. So we'll speak to you guys soon.
Bye. Ciao.